The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Thursday morning. It's Thursday, July 25th, and kind of overcast out there, a little gray this morning. You're waking up to some humidity, and it's about 70 degrees outside, kind of sticky for a Thursday morning. I did hear that we're getting a cold front that's going to come through, so we'll get a little relief from that stickiness for a couple of days, I think you'll hear. We have a great show here for you today for the whole hour. We have Pedro Reis. He is the founder, president, and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy. And the Conservancy is having performances as a residency at the Duffin Theater in Lenox through July 28th called Somersaults in the Berkshires. And so we're going to talk all about that performance actually going through this weekend. So there's still chances to get there and see the performance. Lots of opportunities for that. And we'll talk about that all throughout the show this morning. So looking forward to that conversation. First of all, let's go to the weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs around 80. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
That sounds like some nice summer weather, about 80 degrees, and maybe a little bit of relief from that humidity, so we're looking forward to that. So again, thanks for being here this morning on Morning Drive on your station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, and joining me this morning, Pedro Reis. Good morning, Pedro. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great. Thanks for this opportunity. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you here. And fascinating work we're going to talk about for the Circus Arts Conservancy. This is the organization's first time in the Berkshires, from what I understand.
Absolutely, yes.
I'll just remind people again what we're talking about. It's called Somersaults in the Berkshires. It's a residency coming to Duffin Theater in Lenox. And actually, it's there right now, and it's through July 28th, the end of this weekend. So talk to us about the organization, first of all. What is the Circus Arts Conservancy?
So my wife and I, Dolly Jacobs, formed the organization over 26 years ago in Sarasota, Florida. And our purpose is performance, training, outreach, and legacy. It was continuing the circus legacy in Sarasota that began in 1927 when the Ringling family moved the winter quarters of the Ringling Circus from Bridgeport, Connecticut, to Sarasota. Mm. And, it began there.
Huh. So there's a long history of the circus being the home in Sarasota, Florida.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, the circus, like everything else in life, the circus evolves and moves from city to city. It moved from Sarasota to Venice, which is another city in just 25 miles south of Sarasota. Mm. Eventually, in 1992, the winter quarters actually moved out of Florida. Mm. It is back, I will tell you that. But my wife and I decided, you know what, we need to bring back the living circus to Sarasota and bring back that rich legacy. And so we started it 26 years ago as a non-for-profit organization.
Hmm. And so it was a touring organization at one point, right? It was something that it didn't just stay in Sarasota. It was something that you took around the country?
Well, we tried. I mean, you know, like any circus, you want to go on the road and you want to tour and you want to go from city, from state to state. And, of course, economics is a factor. And we toured to Fort Myers area 3 years in a row, but then the recession kicked in. And then we focused. We said, you know what, let's focus in our own backyards. Let's do some more outreach and education. We really focused strongly on education and formed an incredible education program. And we have a fantastic partnership with the University of South Florida at the moment.
And so what does that education component look like when people are interested in learning more about the trade and the performance? What types of things do you teach?
Well, actually, it's more about science. So fifth graders, we educate fifth graders about Newton's laws of physics. And what better discipline to describe and give examples of gravity, friction, than the circus arts.
Yeah. And the mission of the organization, talk about that, because you mentioned the educational component. And obviously, the performance and every nonprofit organization needs to, be successful and sell tickets, do fundraising, all those other types of things, do outreach and publicity. And there are all kinds of things that nonprofits have to do. But in this particular case with a circus arts conservancy, it seems like there's some special things that go on there. So what's the mission and what do you intend to do?
Well, in the beginning, it was absolutely to raise the perception of the circus arts to be recognized. And I'll emphasize the word arts. You know, circus was... in America, United States of America, there's a preconceived perception of the circus. It's carnival, it's a sideshow, it's the freak show, et cetera, et cetera. And I will say, though, that today we have been recognized as a true art form. My wife is the first circus artist to ever receive the National Endowment of the Arts National Heritage Fellow Award.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge. And just that in 2017, it was a 2.5 year project in progress. We partnered with Smithsonian. Our big top, we took it from Sarasota, put it up on the Capitol Mall, Washington, D.C., and the program was called Circus Arts. And we had 2 million visitors come through the mall, experience the circus arts.
Oh, wow.
We found out at that time there were more than 300 circus schools in the United States and growing. So circus arts has become cool.
And so did it suffer a down period for a while? Because obviously it has a long and storied history, as you mentioned, in the United States. And we have maybe some preconceived notions of what the circus is or has been. And when it comes to your town or whatever. And then we think about how different a performance like this is that's happening here in the Berkshires.
Well, along came Cirque du Soleil. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And they, put a whole new spin on what the circus arts is, became very vibrant, very interesting. A lot of younger people came to see the shows. Our program is based on children of all ages. And I'm happy to say that, in Lenox, the audience, 90% of the audience that come see the show are tri-generations, meaning grandparents, parents, and grandkids. They come and see the show. They experience that incredible positive family moment. They walk away, talk about it for days, weeks at a time. And, our goal is to make this a summer residence and make it an annual event.
Yeah. And that would be a really nice fit for summer in the Berkshires here with so many other cultural institutions and people who really make coming to the Berkshires in the summer, an annual tradition.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's a good compliment in a way, too, because as we sort of talked about off mic just before we went on the air, there are so many regular things here in the Berkshires, things that we expect, theater and live music performance and museums and the types of things that people would expect, I think, in the Berkshires. And the Circus Arts Conservancy might be well, that's interesting. Maybe I'll have to check that out.
I'll tell you this, though. When the show's over and people walk out of the theater, the Duffett Theater in Lenox, they are blown away. I mean, they say, we had no idea. This is fantastic. I'm going to tell all my friends. This is amazing. Please come back next year. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, just to put on a performance that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah. We're speaking with Pedro Reis. He is the founder and president CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy, and the group is currently performing Somersaults in the Berkshires through July 28th at the Duffin Theater in Lenox. And so let's talk about how a phenomenon like Cirque du Soleil changed the nature of how we think of the circus. Maybe go back in history a little bit and tell us how things have evolved. And I think there's also been, you know, some people who wouldn't go to a more traditional circus, if you will, with animals and things like that, for various reasons, right? So go into that a little bit.
Well, totally correct. I mean, you know, there was a very, very strong movement against animals in the circus industry. And, you know, again, evolution, everything moves, everything changes, mm-hmm. everything's flexible, and we go with the flow, basically. Mm. And our show is more traditional. We have a lot of contemporary acts as well, but it's a nice mix of energy. Yeah. So I always call it a modulation and a roller coaster of energy. Hmm. You know, they have the ups, the lows, the beauty, the pageantry, the strength. Mm. And again, the circus arts, basically the impossible becomes possible.
Yeah.
And before your very eyes. You know, and so again, with Cirque du Soleil bringing in the new energy with no animals, that became the thing. And, and you know, so you adopt.
Yeah. And obviously, you've seen the success of something like that, especially with the residency in Las Vegas that they have with multiple
Absolutely.
Places, right? And different shows, and people keep coming back over and over. And so it's more similar in that vein to what they do.
And one of the most important things is the quality of the show. Mm. You know, there's no mediocre. No, that doesn't exist. It has to be top shelf.
Yeah.
That's what we present.
And so we're going to talk about what actually people will see when they go to the performance and the types of performances and the types of acts and things. But let's talk about you for a moment, and because it would be interesting to hear more of the background of how you got into this, right? Because it isn't something that you just sort of casually, well, I think I'll take this up as a career, right? You must have had some larger background on it, and I'd love to hear that.
Well, not so much. Regular kid growing up, regular suburban family.
Yeah.
My parents moved from one suburb, what's called Kenilworth, to Observatory, and this is in Cape Town, South Africa.
Hmm.
And I woke up next morning, and lo and behold, across the street was a local YMCA.
Okay.
And on the basketball field outdoors was a flying trapeze ring and a trampoline.
Really?
So
that's something you wouldn't find every day.
So needless to say, I got into lots and lots of trouble sneaking in through the fence at night, jumping on the trampoline, playing in that flying trapeze net. Well, I eventually befriended the students, if you will, that were training on the flying trapeze, and became the runner, would go buy the Coca-Cola, you know. And eventually said, hey, can I go up on the flying trapeze? And I did. And it was like it's a hook.
I was going to say, what's the first time that you're up on that trapeze? What does that feel like?
Well, you're looking up in the air, and you're seeing these guys flying through the air, and eventually you climb up this rope ladder, get onto the pedestal, and look down. It's higher than you think.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And the net looks way smaller than you imagined. But it was so exhilarating. And I just made up my mind and said, this is what I want to do.
Hmm. That's quite the decision right there, right?
To Absolutely.
Say that something went off and you said, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about, you have to be, I would imagine, a certain kind of person to climb that ladder and to look down and to somehow say, I'm okay with this, right? And this is going to be fine, because I think a lot of people wouldn't think that.
So the Circus Arts Conservatory in Sarasota, Florida, we have a 28,000 square foot arena.
Okay.
And on weekends, we open it up to the public. They want to do flying trapeze, want to walk on the wire, want to learn juggling, want to go on the silks, want to go on the lira hoops and stuff like that. And you'll be amazed how much the circus has become, and I'll use the word again, cool.
Yeah.
It's athletic. Mm-hmm. You know, it builds your body, it builds your muscle mass as challenging. And yeah, it's really become super popular.
I would think you would have to be in a certain amount of physical shape to be able to do. I mean, certainly it builds muscle mass and physical shape, but you have to start out with at least some athleticism, right? You have to have that built in.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
All shapes and sizes go on the flying trapeze and on a trampoline. It's that first experience, the exhilaration. When you step off that platform and you are flying and you're holding onto this bar, the steel bar in your hand, and it's just you and gravity, really.
Yeah.
And of course, the safety belt. You have a safety belt on, which makes it, you know, possible. Mm. But yeah, so people want to experience it, and the others that, you know, that this experience piques their interest a little bit more, and they come back the next weekend and come back the next weekend, and then eventually something says, you know what, I want to try this, and I really want to dedicate my life to becoming a trapeze artist, an acrobat, a teeterboard artist, whatever it may be, but the circus arts has set its hook in you.
Wow. I'm amazed. I think if you've ever sat in the audience for something like this, it's almost too much to imagine that someone could do some of these things.
Well, you know, again, the beauty of it and the impossibility becoming possible, the pageantry, as I mentioned before, the music, the lighting, it's a performing arts presentation like no other. And each show is unique. You know, it's just something in each show that's tweaked, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you're very up close. You can reach out and you can see the artists. You can just see their muscles. You can see their beauty. It's very unique. And the circus arts, is for children of all ages.
And I would imagine, too, that you'll be able to see that really up close in a place like the Duffin Theater.
Exactly.
It's not like a thousands and thousands of seats arena where you might have seen, you know, another place, another troupe like the Cirque du Soleil, which, you know, granted, they're just massive. But I don't think you get a really, you know, up close look. And I can't imagine that the theater in Lenox must be a much more intimate experience.
It's a beautiful theater. Yeah. We seat 500 and you are very close to the artist. And so, yes, it is an experience where you are close. You can hear them breathe. And that's for me, is part of the magic.
Yeah.
You know, there are these humans on stage doing what I could never do, maybe.
Right. I mean, I would imagine that would be my first thought. It's like, how in the world are they doing this?
Exactly.
And so how long does it take for someone to, let's say, graduate to the level at which some of the performers, and we'll go into each one of them here in a little while, how do they get to that level, and how much work does it take?
So each act is unique in itself. I mean, you can take juggling, for example. There are, if not thousands of jugglers in the world, obviously. There's speed jugglers, there's club jugglers, there's ball bounce jugglers. So the discipline itself has so many variables. And like everything, art is in the eye of the beholder, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense. But also, again, the speed jugglers, their dexterity, their hand-eye coordination, it blows your mind, right? I mean, so some of us, you know, we can balance our checkbook sometimes or not. And then you see these guys on the stage or in the ring just throwing up these clubs or these balls, and it's just like, how the hell do they do that?
Right. Yeah. And just like with ease also, right?
Exactly.
And that's the amazing thing in a lot of ways, is that it just comes naturally. What you're seeing is obviously years and years of practice. Where would they first take this up, and who would be their mentors, for example? Is that a necessary thing? Is it something that can just come from a lot of practice?
You know, it comes from everywhere. For example, a kid could see something on TV, pick up three stones and start juggling three stones, three marbles, whatever it might be, three tennis balls. Now with YouTube, I mean, you know, it's just everywhere. And so, again, it has to be something inside of you that just is a trigger, the flame, if you will, a passion. And that's what the magic is. It's called passion. And it's an energy, right, that consumes you. Because you've seen somebody juggle seven clubs. Well, I'm going to do eight. And I'm not going to stop until I do eight.
Yeah.
And that's what drives you. And that's what drives the competitiveness of it all. It's like, I want to do something that nobody else has ever done and nobody else is ever going to do because it's crazy dangerous. Mm. That type of thing.
And there must be a good amount of respect, too, among the different performers for their specific talents, right?
Absolutely.
Because not every one of them can do everything that you see there, but they're all good at the specific things that they do.
When you start off in the circus school, experienced in the circus arts, you do general, right? So you'll do juggling, you'll do unicycle, you do acrobatics, tumbling, handstand, go on the flying trapeze, go on the source, go on the lira, the hoop, whatever the case is.
Can most of them sort of generally do all of those things?
No. It's a progression.
Okay.
You know, it's a progression, and then you narrow it down to what really are you interested in, or your coach will encourage you. This is the direction that you should go because you have this natural talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a teamwork in the sense of getting to where you want to be.
And for someone that's a coach, is that someone who has been doing it their entire career also and they've been around and seen different things, or how does that work?
So yes and no. So once upon a time, the circus arts was truly a traditional facet of hand-me-down discipline of the circus world, basically. Hmm. Things have changed. Things have shifted big time.
In what way?
It's now more circus schools. Huh. And circus schools are actually producing more circus artists. And in this contemporary world of the circus world, it's really exploded. And in the traditional sense of the circus arts, again, less animals and more human activity, discipline in the circus ring. And not to say that it's taken away the magic of the circus world, because it's unique. So in Sarasota, we put up a big top. It's a European-style big top. It's one ring. And when you step foot into the big top, you just enter a magical place because it just transforms you, takes you to a different place. And that's what the circus arts is all about. It transports you to that space where for the hour and a half that you see the show, you're experiencing so many different energies that truly you've been elevated out of your seat.
You need the big top, though, right? Because a lot of things are aerial, right? And a lot of things are high wire, trapeze, things like that, right?
I mean, again, so you got the flying trapeze artists, male, female.
Yeah.
When they spin three times, now it's actually four, because that's what a quadruple somersault.
Wow.
Spin three or four times, open out, stretch out, and the catch is coming up towards him. The velocity, the speed, it's all about that perfect timing, and where they rest, meet, and catch, fly to the front of the apex of the swing, come back, do a pirouette back to the trapeze bar, and go back to the pedestal. You see the audience just go crazy because they've experienced something that's truly impossible.
Yeah.
Which was possible.
Right. We're speaking with Pedro Reis. He is the founder, president, and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy, if you're just tuning in to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. And we're talking about Somersaults in the Berkshires, which is a summer residency of the organization that's happening at the Duffin Theater in Lenox through July 28th. That's through the end of this weekend. So there's still a chance to catch this. And we're glad that you were able to come in today before it's all over to talk about it.
Great. No, thank you, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk about, and I know we want to get into the background of some of the performers. Let's just generalize for a moment. If you're working with someone, you just mentioned the pair, someone who's spinning, you know, making four somersaults in the air, and then someone is grabbing them and bringing them over onto the other, either a platform or a trapeze. I'm trying to imagine it here and in my head and describe it for radio, which is two different things. But those are two people, right, that work together a lot.
Correct.
And they have to have
trust.
Must be an ultimate trust, right? And and not only that, but a lot of practice.
Oh, yeah.
How do those relationships work?
It could be family. It could just be friends. It could be a mentor, if you will. So you build a trust with, a little bit of my background.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an act called Survivors, appropriately named Survivors. I'm still here.
Yes, you are. We're glad.
And I kind of, my troupe reintroduce the act that was that didn't exist anymore. It last performed in the United States of America in 1952.
Wow.
The reason being that three people got killed.
Oh, wow.
That's just the simplicity of it all. There was no safety net, no safety mat, no safety harness. You literally stood on this platform and jumped into the midair, and your catcher hanging by his knees would come out with his body and catch you, and he would be the pendulum with the swing. And you would use his body to then do a forward somersault, a pirouette, whatever, with, again, sans safety device. Huh.
And which part of that pair were you?
I was the flyer.
You were the flyer.
I was the flyer. Oh. And so we did that act for 4 years.
Hmm.
And eventually, the stress and the responsibility of my life or our lives, because there were three of us leapers, jumpers, on the catcher took its toll. And he said, I can't do this anymore.
For the catcher.
Because
of the huge responsibility.
Exactly. And it took its toll and said, I just can't do this anymore. And that was it.
And that was it. Yeah. Wow. And that really does underline what the, you know, this isn't fake.
No.
This is real. What you're seeing up there is real. It's
very real. Yeah. So that gave me the opportunity to create a different act, and it's called a cloud swing act. That's a 35-foot rope attached to two points, and the swing is immensely huge, obviously, and you would drop to one knee, catch with one hand, and there were other aerialists doing cloud swing, and I said, okay, so what's going to make my act different? And so I conceived this idea, is at the apex of my swing, let go, fly across the ring 26 feet, catch a rope that's suspended up on a single pulley system, tied with a piece of string. And when you grab the rope, the piece of string broke, and you dropped 40 feet. And at the end of the cable was a 10-foot bungee. It slowed you down. So within 2 seconds, you touch the floor, let go of the bungee, and you'd be right in front of the audience. So, and that was a unique, finish to an act.
Sounds like there's a lot of setup involved too, right? Like all that equipment has to be set just right, and it all has to work just right.
Exactly.
You're grabbing on and you're expecting that string to break, which it will, of course, but it all has to be set perfectly before every performance.
Because if it's not set correctly, doo-doo happens.
Yeah. And let's talk about that in the couple minutes we've got before the top of the hour break that we're going to take. Not everything probably always goes perfectly. So,
of course,
there are safety nets and there are safety harnesses and things like that. I would imagine probably 99% of the time things are going to go well. What happens when something doesn't go perfectly? How do you recover? What do you do?
So the old cliche, the show must go on, right? The show must go on. So you think fast, you move fast, you cover it up. The audience doesn't even know it happened.
Really?
Right? It's the show's moving on.
Yeah.
In the blink of the eye, the illusion becomes reality, if you will. And then sometimes, reality is reality, and you have to stop.
Yeah.
And close the curtain, so to speak.
Really? Yeah.
And say, hopefully never ever have to say, is there a doctor in the house?
Yes. I never want to hear those words,
no.
I would imagine.
But exactly.
I would imagine there's also some things where if something doesn't go exactly right, you move on to the next act, right? And things continue to go if possible.
Part of the education and the curriculum of the circus is never give up. So when you drop the juggling club, you bend down, pick it up, and try it again. When you miss the triple somersault, you climb back up that ladder and you try it again until you perfect it. And that's what the circus is. It's about perfecting a very, very difficult discipline, whatever it may be, and passing it on to the audience. That's why you're doing this. That's why you're training. You want to pass it on to the audience, and you want to mesmerize the audience and have them say, oh my God, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
And I would imagine, too, that the audience is along for the ride,
if
you will, right?
Totally.
And so even if they see a club that falls and it comes back up, they just, I would imagine, they're along for it.
Absolutely. The cheer's even bigger. It's even greater. And
that's
again,
great.
And also the...
And they see the resilience of the performer,
exactly.
Right? They say, well, this person isn't going to stop just because of that.
Exactly. Years ago, there was a young man, Casey Boomer, he was inflicted with one arm. You know, he was born with one arm, basically. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to hire him. And the question came up, okay, one arm, is this sideshow? Is this art? And I had to think about it. And something in my mind said, of course it's art, you idiot. Book the guy. And I booked him. And the positive reaction from so many parents and moms said, oh, my God, this was so inspiring for my kid. You know,
right.
And that's the beauty of what we do.
That's great. Pedro Reyes is the founder and president and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy. And as we're approaching our break here at the top, just to remind people, we're talking about Somersaults in the Berkshires, which is happening at the Duffin Theater in Lenox through the end of this weekend, July 28th. So there's still a chance to get there and experience what you're hearing about here today. The Circus Arts Conservancy is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the circus arts. And it's fascinating to talk to Pedro about this morning. And I hope that a lot of people listening get a chance to go down and watch. We're going to talk to Pedro more about this in the second half and go into some of the performers specifically and what they do and some of their histories as well. So stick around for the second half of the program, if you would. Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies, producing this.
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is August 2nd, featuring a family fun zone, Maker's Market, live music, entertainment, and more. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com and UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Hello, Michael Hitchcock from Roots and Dreams and Mustard Seeds, here to say we build working class power. If you work for money, if you're unemployed, disabled, a student, or retired, homeless or immigrant, you're working class, and you've got more in common with other workers everywhere than you do with bosses anywhere. If you want to build working class power, come to our food pantry, Mercado de Vida, at 119 Fenn Street. Can't wait to meet you.
Hi, my name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the host of WTBR's Morning Drive. We air every weekday morning, 7:30 to 8:30. The goal of my program is to inform, educate, and have a few chuckles along the way. We have wonderful guests, political, arts, actors, musicians, teachers. I look forward for you to listen in or watch us on PCTV. Thank you.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our for Federico Drive Studio. Glad to have you along with us this morning. It is a nice warm summer morning, as we mentioned earlier, and we'll do the weather forecast in just a second. To remind people that we're speaking with Pedro Race. He's the founder, president, and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy. They're running somersaults in the Berkshires through July 28th, the end of this weekend, down at the Duffin Theater in Lenox. And we'll talk more about a few more things, the performers and what you're going to see when you go to the performance there, and lots more to talk about with Pedro. First of all, let's do the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs around 80. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, it sounds like it'll be a little nicer, easier to sleep tonight than it was last night. Last night was one of those, you must have an air conditioner night. It was just muggy and sticky. And yeah, you know, I don't really care for that too much. But it is what it is. And it's the summer in the Berkshires. And that's why we're here talking to Pedro Race this morning. We are talking about the Circus Arts Conservancy. And thanks again for joining us for the second half of the show, Pedro.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure. So we talked about a little bit of your background and history and some of the things that you've done. Your wife has done quite amazing things as well in the same vein. Let's talk about her for a moment. Give us a little background on her and the kinds of accomplishments she's done.
Sure. So she was born in Sarasota, Florida, the circus capital of the world. Mm. Her dad was Lou Jacobs, who was on Ringling for more than 60 years.
Oh, no kidding.
He was the face sometimes on the poster of the Ringling show. If you remember the Greatest Show on Earth movie, when that little car came out into the ring with Jimmy Stewart, mm-hmm. and that clown came out of that little car, that was Lou Jacobs,
oh, no kidding.
My wife's dad.
Huh.
So it's fantastic. And as I mentioned before in the program, she's the first circus artist to receive the National Endowment for the Arts National Heritage Fellow Award, which is, you know, top, top. She did an amazing aerial act, was Roman Rings, which was kind of unusual for a female to be doing Roman rings.
And describe for us, especially for the radio audience, what the Roman rings are.
Well, if you know gymnastics, it's a man's gymnastics discipline done static. In other words, there's no real swinging or flying or anything like that. Mm. She developed this swinging Roman ring act, and again, which was unique to her, and again, sets her apart from so many others, is that whatever she does, she just is absolutely beautiful. Mm. Her lines, her pointed feet, everything, a smile. She could cap, you know, she could see you at the top of Madison Square Gardens and you would think she's performing just for you.
Mm.
That's her ability and that's her natural. But she created this flyaway somersault, completely releasing the Roman rings and doing a full layout somersault, catching a rope that was set about 15 feet away from her. And, you know, there's no safety net. There's no safety device.
How far off the ground is that?
35.
35 feet.
40 feet,
wow.
Something, you know, depending on the building space like that. And so together we founded the Circus Arts Conservatory in Sarasota, Florida, to bring back the living circus, to raise the perception of the circus arts, and to hand on the circus arts to the next generations.
Mm. So that's fantastic. And why is it, and just going back to the Roman rings, why traditionally has it been a men's sport or a men's activity?
It is purely, purely physical.
Upper body.
Upper body, yeah. And, you know, movement, dance, and then you implement movement and dance and choreography, and it becomes a performing art instead of a gymnastic discipline.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. And so she kind of took that and made that her own in a lot of ways.
Totally.
And actually customized it and made it unique.
And set the bar so high that it's very, very few individuals will ever reach that pinnacle. However, she inspired so many young girls to want to try it, do it. And she's a coach, one of our coaches, obviously, at the Circus Arts Conservatory. Sure. And to see the young girls go up there and just beaming, you know, watching. And Dolly would go up there and demonstrate for them. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, and it's important for people, young girls and boys, to have someone to look up to, and to the representation is very important, right?
Right, so, role models, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's go into some of the people, the lineup, if you will, for the somersaults in the Berkshires, the people that are performing, the people that they'll see if they go to the Duffin Theater for these performances. And talk a little bit about each person, if you would. Heidi Harriet, and she's the master of ceremonies.
Yep, she's our ringmaster, if you will. Heidi's from a second-generation circus family. Her dad, Johnny Harriet, mom, Ruth Harriet. They were animal trainers, but horses, camels, elephants, whatever it was, that they had the knack of coaching and training animals. Heidi then elevated to becoming the host, the ringmaster, if you will, and she does a fantastic, fantastic job telling you about the history of the circus and how it connects with people and humans.
Nice. And Garrett Allen on aerial rope. Talk about Garrett.
So Garrett Allen, kind of at the age of 10 in California, was introduced to the circus arts through a program, a circus school. And he fell in love with the circus, basically, and he said, this is what I want to do.
So it was obvious to Garrett at 10 years old, that's what he wanted to do.
Totally. And he has a single rope that he performs on, and it's rope, it's ballet, it's dance, it's movement, it's acrobatic. It's just beautiful.
So honestly. Is it a single rope that he's working with, or multiple ropes?
No, it's single rope, single attachment.
Yeah. Okay.
We call it the web. Actually, we call it the Spanish web for some reason. It's soft cotton rope. And his maneuvers and the music that he works to is balletic. It's agile. It's, like I said, acrobatic. And he's above the floor. So there's a moment where he's like, I hope he doesn't let go.
And under that, no net?
No.
So that's
just
all
the stage.
Yeah. All how he's working with that rope and keeping himself above. Serge Sergeyev and Orika Aneeva. Did I get that right?
Yep. They are from Nitsistan in USSR once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And they are also second generation a circus family.
Okay.
And they present a balancing act, which is unique in itself, and they use swords and daggers to balance crystal.
Wow.
So, and it's, again, mesmerizing in the fact that any second that object can fall and shatter on the floor.
Yeah.
And they make it look so easy.
But it's not necessarily sleight of hand either, right? They're actually making that balance work.
It's totally upfront. There's no illusion.
Yeah.
It's like the discipline that they've trained for hours, weeks, months, years to perfection.
Mm. And again, that's kind of going back to what we talked about with a pair of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
People that work together and have that trust of knowing exactly what's going to occur when that performance goes off.
Yep.
Yeah. Tersit.
Tersit.
Tersit. A Sefa Dersu.
Dersu.
Okay.
All the way from Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, my goodness. So worldwide.
Yeah.
Just an amazing cast of folks here. So Tersit is a bounce juggler. Tell me about that.
The fastest woman bounce juggler in the world.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding. The way she manipulates her bounce balls on these platforms, she has a flat platform and then a angled 45-degree top angle, and the way she bounces these balls off these platforms, again, I use the word mesmerizing a lot because you literally mesmerize.
Yeah.
Because how does she bounce those balls that fast and not drop them? It's just no way.
Right. So we think of juggling as something where you're taking an object, you're throwing it in the air, and then you're manipulating it, bringing it down. And this is the opposite, really. You're throwing something and having it come back, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's unique. Yeah, very unique.
All right. And then we have La Vision.
La Vision is a double, a duo.
Okay.
Moscow State Circus. You have the underman or the strong guy underneath and lifting up his partner. And doing incredible, incredible feats of acrobatic abilities, handstands, one-arm handstands, one hand on the head handstand type of stuff. And again, the strength, the discipline, the poise, the presentation, it just takes you on a journey.
And so hand balancing is what it's called, right? So,
correct.
And that's because there's almost like a pivot point. How does describe that a little bit?
Well, there's the center, right?
Yeah.
Balance is all about finding the center.
Yeah.
And so once you find that center, it becomes a little easier. But because there's two of you, you need to work uniquely together, understand each other, understand every single little move, little twitch, whatever might happen during that routine, and make it look effortless. That's the goal. Make it look effortless.
And again, I go back to thinking about how much time must have gone into getting that just right.
Absolutely.
It's years, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. I mean, and you might have started in a gymnastic program, and there's something that you saw, let's just say on YouTube maybe, or on TV, or you saw a picture and said, you know, we can do this. We should try and do this, you know. And that's how it starts.
And again, I just imagine how much time it just must take to put it together. Seeing it and saying, okay, it's possible is one thing, and then saying, okay, let's try that. How does that work?
And again, it's about the presentation, right? Because it's not just about doing a handstand on your partner's head, if you will. It's how you present it. Do you want to make it look as it's totally impossible that you, the audience, you'll never be able to do this because it's just impossible?
Yeah.
Or do you want to make it look as effortless as possible that you too can try this?
What I'm curious, as I've got a couple more to talk about here, but about the ages of the people who are involved, and what does a career look like for these types of arts?
So,
because
I
would imagine younger people probably find it easier because they, you know, might be in better physical condition, but I'll bet there are lots of people with great experience in their later years who can still take on these jobs. What does that look like?
It's a mixed bag, really, because, for example, a juggler can juggle forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, a trapeze artist can't do flying trapeze forever. Your shoulders, your elbows, arthritis, you know, it takes its course, obviously. Yeah. And there comes a time when you know, physically, it's time for me to exit stage right.
Yeah. And that's the time it might be good to have a few other skills, right? And maybe not the primary one that you had done, but maybe something you can move into.
And that happens. Yeah. I mean, you know, you shift into something else, or you become a coach, you know, or you open up a circus school, you know.
How about that?
Hey.
We're speaking, by the way, with Pedro Reis. He's the founder and president and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy. And you're listening to our discussion with Pedro here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. And their residency here in the Berkshires, the first time they've been here to the Berkshires, which is very exciting. I hope you found that rewarding so far. Is called Somersaults in the Berkshires through July 28th, which is this weekend. It's going to be at Duffin Theater. And what are the performances? Is there one tonight?
There's one today at 2 p.m.
Today, okay.
Yep, 2 p.m. And then the following day at 2 and 6. And then Sunday is our final performance, 1 and 5. It's very affordable. And again, it's for children of all ages, grandparents, parents, and grandkids.
So two performances on Saturday and Sunday?
Correct.
Yeah. And we don't generally mention ticket prices here on a nonprofit radio station, but let's just say that they're very affordable.
Exactly.
And if people were to want to get tickets, or to can they just arrive at the box office, or do they get them in advance? How does that work?
The best thing is to go to the website circusarts.org and get and purchase your tickets online.
Okay. So there you go. Circusarts.org
exactly.
is the place to go if you're interested in any of those performances. And 2 p.m. today, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We're getting you right in the heart of it here. So let's go back to another performer, and that is Dick Monday and Slappy, which are clowning. So talk about that.
Well, very talented individuals in the sense of comedy. Not only that, though, they actually have two non-for-profits that they formed.
Okay.
Not only do they go on stage and make people laugh hilariously, but they also work with kids inflicted with different diseases, if you will, and cancer being one of the primary things. And they use humor and laughter as a healing module. And they do a lot of great, great work at different children's hospitals, Texas, Boston, Georgia. And they are continuing the legacy of clowning. But it's not, again, the big red nose, the bright costumes,
It can take many forms,
The heavy grease paint. No, it's not. It's way down, built down. It's funny, though, because we do have kids saying, do you have clowns? I'm afraid of clowns. And we say, no, we don't have, we have comic characters, you know. And then during the show, the same kid is beaming, laughing, loving everything that these comic characters are doing, you know. Yeah. So
it is kind of sad that there has grown up the idea of being afraid of clowns. And people of a certain generation couldn't even imagine that, but there has been that thing that's kind of crept into our culture in some ways, right?
Well, I'll use this kind of, I'll say, thank you, Stephen King.
Hollywood takes its liberties,
thank you,
right?
Scaring the crap out of our kids, okay? And using the clown as the model, you know, unfortunately.
But so you won't necessarily expect the stereotypical.
No, it's actually a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, these kids that came in this apprehensive idea of seeing somebody on stage with makeup on, with a clown, they just love it. Mm-hmm. They actually eat it up.
That's great. So as you mentioned, it really is a multi-generational experience for people of all ages. It's something that grandparents can bring their grandkids to and the parents in the middle.
Yep.
everyone can. There's something for everyone to enjoy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about the business of circus arts, because that's something that obviously you can't do this unless you can continue to, you know, bring in money and do events. And what kind of a business is this that you're in?
So, again, we are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Both my wife and I were independent contractors when we were doing our own individual acts as circus artists. And we based the business model knowing as independent contractors, if you don't have the money, you can't spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So be fiscally responsible. We have an incredible board of directors in Sarasota, Florida, who support us, who believe in the mission, obviously.
And that's so important, too, to
absolutely.
Have a good, strong board of directors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of having a box office and a box office revenue to support the programs. 80% of all revenue generated by the organization supports our outreach programs.
Hmm. And does that, a lot of that come from box office, or does it come from grants and other, you know, sources like that?
It's a mixed bag. So when we first started, we were literally at 80-20% non-for-profit organization generating 80% of earned income through box office. So we present,
which is very healthy, right?
Yes, yes. So we present a lot of different performances. In Sarasota, we have the Sailor Circus Academy. We have the Gold Unit, which is another junior program that we present. So in the arena, again, 28,000 square feet, we rent out the arena to different organizations, different programs. So we have almost like a full calendar. As we speak in Sarasota, Florida, right now, at the John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art, we have a program called the Summer Circus Spectacular. And we've been partnering with the museum for the past 18 years, presenting a one-hour show. And we're duplicating that right up here in the Berkshires at the Dauphin in Lenox and at Somersault in the Berkshires.
Wow. So you have that going on kind of simultaneously to what's happening here in the Berkshires.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. And so what does the rest of the year look like then? So the summer time in Sarasota, is that as busy as the rest of the seasons, fall, spring? Are there times that are very, very busy down there?
Well, everything has, again, evolved and changed and become annual. There's no, things are going to slow down in the summer. No.
No.
We've pushed the envelope and we kept the brand alive, partnered, like I said, with the Ringling. Present 9 weeks of performances down there, and at the same time present 9 weeks of summer camp circus arts programs in our arena. We have 120 kids every day at the arena, and that get a chance to practice, work with the coaches, and then on Friday they'll present a little performance to their parents.
Oh, wow.
And the performance is not just little. We have a lighting designer, they design the lights, they have the costumes, they have everything. They put on a spectacular little performance.
Wow. Now that's a summer camp experience,
oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
I can imagine that being very popular for parents, hugely.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really become, when we first took over the program in 2011, we had 90 students total,
mm-hmm.
right? We have 120 every day for nine weeks.
Wow. For 9 weeks.
9 weeks.
Wow. So that's the entirety of the summer, essentially.
Yeah.
That's focused on that
the
particular
summer camp
program. Yeah. And then performances throughout the year in different time periods. What are some of the performances like down there?
So in spring, we put on a residence program for the Sailor Suit Academy High School graduation program.
Hmm.
In the fall, December, we put on the Sailor Circus Academy featured show.
Hmm.
Then in February and March, we put on Circus Sarasota. That's a big top. And prior to that, we partnered with Nick Wallander, and we put up a big top, especially at UTC Mall. And it's a holiday show. It's focused on holidays. So it's a celebration of the holidays. It's fantastic. Hmm.
So when you say you put up a big top, this is...
Literally.
Literally, the tent goes up and it's
yep.
in the mall parking lot or
yep.
whatever. And that's that must be quite the attraction. How long does that last for?
So the big top seats 1,600 people.
Okay.
From Nick Wallander's show, his wife, Arenda, we partner with them, goes up in October through January. Our big top, then we put up another big top. And we put that big top up and start early February through the first week of March.
Hmm.
Then we have another collaboration with a group called Key Chorale, which is a choral group, voices. We actually have 100 voices in the choir, a 42-piece orchestra, symphony.
No kidding.
And circus acts, and we do that.
Wow.
We present three performances of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if anyone's in the Sarasota area during that time, that's something
down.
You definitely want to check out
yeah.
For sure. So Pedro Reyes is speaking with right now with the founder of and president and CEO of the Circus Arts Conservancy. And just to remind people that that is happening through the end of this weekend, their summer residency here in the Berkshires, the first time they've been here, doing that at the Duffin Theater in Lenox. And that is the performances of one today and one tomorrow, did you say?
Two tomorrow.
Two and six. And then Saturday and Sunday are what time?
Saturday's 2 and 6, and Sunday's 1 and 5.
And
tickets at circusarts.org.
All right, there you go. Pedro, it's been great having you on the show here this morning. It's wonderful talking with you, and we hope that your first experience here in the Berkshires has been a positive one and that you'll be back many, many times.
Thank you.
And hope nothing more than to see even more expanded programs from the Circus Arts Conservancy. So thanks for coming on the show here this morning to talk to us about it.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And folks, Morning Drive will return tomorrow. Bill Sturgeon will be hosting in an unusual spot. Usually he's on Monday through Wednesday, but he has a special program that's going to be on tomorrow morning. They're going to be talking about what everyone seems to be talking about here in the Berkshires, which is the visit of Kamala Harris to the Berkshires on Saturday. So he's going to be having an interview about that particular event. That'll be airing tomorrow morning in this slot from 7:30 to 8:30 here on WTBR FM 89.7 and also on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and, of course, on PCTV Select. So check that out if you can. That'll be a big show, and I'm sure everyone will be interested to know what's going on with that program. So, again, Pedro, thanks for being here this morning. And, folks, tune in to Morning Drive tomorrow, and we will see you all then. Take care, everybody. Enjoy a little bit of rest from the humidity as it comes through. Take care.